Read all the stories about BYU sports no one else has heard. Go to KSLSports.com for exclusive columns by BYU insider Mitch Harper. That's KSLSports.com.
You can check my bylines on KSLSports.com. They have a Fayetteville, Arkansas tag. I was there in Fayetteville last night. Still here in town, getting ready for my flight on this Sunday morning. First and 12 coming at you, this recap of Big 12 football action. And, of course, BYU. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Heck of a night last night. It was an amazing atmosphere. BYU takes down the Hogs 38-31, Alex. And I'll tell you, when BYU got down 14-0, I was asking myself internally, I'm thinking, am I watching a BYU team that's going to be 2-10 this season? Because they didn't look like they belonged on the field against Arkansas. No. Wild game.
No, it was, and you know, I think that's the part that made it such a fun game to watch, is that BYU answers the haymakers with a couple of their own, and then Arkansas responds again and goes back up again. So this kind of, you know, teeter-tottering back and forth was just really, it made for, I mean, I don't want to overdo it because we're not that far removed. We're less than 12 hours removed from the game now. And I, you know, but I had a lot of people on Twitter going, instant classic. Now, it was an instant classic in terms of how much fun it was, I think. And you started to see some guys start to make a name for themselves. LJ Martin with the big 45-yard run for the touchdown. I think that was, you know, kind of a seminal moment for him. And it was the reason that they were able to kind of start getting back into it. And they clawed their way back in. But when you spread the ball around, and Keaton Slovis did not have a perfect game at all, right? I mean, you look at this and you go, this is a guy who didn't have, you know, the numbers, especially in the first half. He was below 50% completion for most of that first part of the game. But a Parker Kingston touchdown pass, if you had that for the first score that he was going to have as a Cougar, congrats or whatever. I don't know what the payout is on that. But he had a touchdown reception. He had a touchdown pass on the gadget play. When they get back into that thing, it was fun to see the back and forth, and it was fun to see the defense get a little bit of an identity as well. Pressures that we had not seen all season long. Of course, they bring it to an SEC team at their place to finally see that kind of show up.
BYU's defense, I'm glad you brought them up, because they get four sacks. I mean, who would have thought that against KJ Jefferson? BYU's defense gave up a lot of yards, 424 on the night, but as Kalani Sitake noted in postgame, they captured the momentum, and I think it was a great example that of what they envisioned when they hired Jay Hill. Kalani Sitake, when they let go of Elisa Tuiaki, he had a goal in mind. He's going to go get Jay Hill, and I think a lot of people, you know, locally thought maybe that would have been too hard of an ask to get Jay to leave the head coach perch to come be a DC at BYU. It's working out great, and BYU was a completely different team physicality-wise on the defensive side compared to what they were a year ago against Arkansas, because BYU is, man, they are good in these revenge game spots. Kalani teams, it was Baylor last year, Wisconsin 5 years ago, and here in Arkansas. I mean, it was just a really solid win. I think gives BYU a jolt of energy and optimism going into the Big 12, because after the first 2 weeks, Alex, I don't think anyone felt that there was much hope for BYU to be a disruptor in the Big 12 conference. Now after that win and the size of Arkansas and the talent that they have, you go in and win that game. Why can't you go compete on a week-in, week-out basis in the Big 12? It's going to be a gauntlet, we know. But what a win for Kalani's team to now have that belief going into conference play.
Yeah, and if they had had three games in a row at home and then had to hit the road to Lawrence next week, maybe, you go, I don't know what's going to happen with this team. But now when you have that, and maybe it's going to be some tough travel back-to-back, but either way, welcome to the Big 12, welcome to your new conference, and welcome to kind of your new life as guys who have to show up and just be ready to play every week, because that's the new life in your conference play, which is going to be the hardest schedule that you've ever played. And that's, it's going to be a week-in and week-out deal, and I think it's a great warm-up for them to kind of be able to get to that spot. There were so many surprises for me last night. You know, when I look and I see a bunch of performances across the board, there's a lot of names I want to start yelling out, not just on the offense, but on the defense. I thought my MVP of the night, it might surprise you, it might not also, because it's on the defensive side of the ball, and it's Max Tooley. I mean, that guy, that interception, and it was a perfect read. It was a perfect call on defense. And really to be able to get them in that spot where they're able to score that touchdown. And then the play calling right after that pick was just masterful. But I think Max Tooley showed up for this game. And you heard Sam Pittman earlier in the week, the head coach for Arkansas, call out Max Tooley by name, saying that guy is a baller. And, you know, I think that you're hearing a lot of names mentioned before Max Tooley before this week. And this is a guy who's a leader on the team. And that linebacking core had a heck of a game.
They did. And I think here's a surprise for me, Alex, Aaron Roderick. And I say that because I think Aaron Roderick, when he was at Utah a long time ago as the OC, I think there was a feeling one of once he got figured out, he didn't have a second gear, a second level of plays that can keep defenses honest, and he was just completely figured out. I think in this game showed how good of an OC Aaron Roderick can be week in, week out. I thought in week one against Sam Houston, I thought that play calling was poor, and I thought that that was not one of Aaron Roderick's best games, but I loved his opportunities where he seized the momentum. Defense, Max Tooley gets that big INT, 20-yard play to Parker Kingston for a screen. He seizes the opportunity. 42-yard run by L.J. Martin for a touchdown after getting the ball on a shank punt by Arkansas. Roderick had a very good feel for the game, and I like what he did. And he highlighted, as you noted, underrated guys. Keelan Marion finally breaks through. He was someone I was talking about as a breakthrough speedster in BYU's receiver unit. He's one of the top deep threats in the program, and he showed that with a big grab late in the game down the sideline. It was just an all-around team performance for BYU, and yet they still have opportunities that they can grow. They got to feel good about this one.
Well, let's go to the rushing side of things, because I know that everybody's going to go, man, that's your guy, your new guy, the bell cow, at least for this week, is L.J. Martin, and that 45-yard touchdown was one thing. But in the end, the rushing number was still very, very subpar for BYU. I don't think it really matters in the end because, you know, Keaton Slovis' numbers weren't great either. They got beat on the offensive side of things by almost 180 yards, but they also had about 20 plays fewer than Arkansas did. They had the ball about 10 minutes less than Arkansas did. I guess when you look at it, it's a weird game numbers-wise for BYU. Didn't even get 300 yards of offense, but is that concerning at all, or do you look at it and go, nope, for the game that it was, it's exactly how they had to play it?
I think it's concerning a little bit because there were times where BYU's offensive line got dominated. And if you're going to be a team that wins a Power 5 league, I think you got to have – you can't have games where you're just getting handled or stretches of games where your offensive line is getting pushed back. There were moments where BYU's O-line just had complete mental lapses, and it created havoc for Arkansas. So that's a little bit concerning. Until we end up with 77 yards, you're not going to win many games in the Big 12 with that rush yards number. But you escape, and you enjoy the moment of being 3-0. But that is something that has to get better going forward. I thought it did in stretches last night, but still it's an area of improvement for BYU.
The one-handed catch from Chase Roberts ends up as the SportsCenter number one play of the night. Not a shock. What was a shock is that when he came up with that ball, we're all watching this thing going, no, he didn't grab it. No, he didn't catch it. And there it was, a phenomenal catch. He only had two catches on the night. One of them was that instant classic for him.
And he had that fumble, too, which you felt like, oh, man, that's going to take all the oxygen out of the momentum for BYU. And they just kept fighting back, and that's – you know, that's a good indicator, I think, of, you know, Kalani believed that this team was better equipped to handle adversity. Does last year's team handle that well? I don't think so. So that's a good sign, too, moving forward, that when adversity does strike, they stayed calm, they stayed the course, and still believed in their playbook, and that was evident last night.
Of course, First and 12 is always brought to you by the folks at Macy's Grocery Store. Happy shopping. Macy's Grocery Store, freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms, your favorite local brands. Macy's, happy shopping. We'll come back. We're going to have some thoughts from Keaton Slovis, the quarterback from BYU, in the postgame. That was a fun game for him. He talked about how emotional it was and where it kind of stacks up history-wise for him in his college career. Come right back to us. First and 12 right here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Mitch Harper, Alex Curie, coming right back.